glamour, but I'll be brutally honest with you. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak. Would you have wished that they wouldn't have shut you down, or are you glad that they did?
When I started setting boundaries, I started getting like way more respect, right? And when I saw that, I was like, hold up, wait, what is that?
We have to know it's okay if we're having a bad day.
I'm a mother of a 3-year-old, almost a 4-year-old. So my business is as old as my baby.
Like, hey, I just want to let you know, my energy's going to be a little low. I got some things going on, but I'm here for you. Girl, yes.
So it gassed me up. I'm like, okay, we got another one coming. We got another bounce.
Welcome back to Accountability On Demand Podcast. It is your host, Lashana West, your business therapist and mindset coach, and this is the Girl Boss series. I'm so excited to be streaming live from my event space, Pop Up and Create, and we have a special guest to kick it off. Let everybody know who you are and what you do.
Hello, welcome. So I am Monet, owner of Monet Business & Co. I have been in business or entrepreneurship for almost 10 years, but coaching specifically, I've been coaching for 3 years, going on 4. I am a business coach and I specialize in marketing. So I'm a marketing specialist in systems, right? So I'm excited to be here and yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Listen, I am so excited to tap in because I don't know about you guys, but systems can sometimes make you scared if you're not aware of them and you don't realize how it could literally help you save your business. So tell us, Monet, how did you get into the realm of what you do and what was the driving force behind it?
So the driving force for me was, of course, I'll be honest and say the pandemic. I'm a mother of a 3-year-old, almost a 4-year-old. So my business is as old as my baby as far as my coaching business. The driving force behind me becoming a coach was actually during the pandemic, they shut down my shop, my salon. Okay. So they said it wasn't an essential business. And it was like, y'all got to close within 30 days because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I had already took a business coaching certification course with the state. And I took that a month before. So it's kind of like God prepared me for something that I didn't even know what was coming.
I didn't know they were shutting down people's businesses.
If it wasn't they called it non-essential. So yeah. Anything that was hair salon, nail salon, all of that was closed.
Is it really non-essential? Because I am taking a break from the nails, but the hair, baby, that's essential. Yeah, so what do you think? Do you think, and let's just be honest, regardless if it was our business or not, is the beauty industry non-essential?
I feel like the beauty industry is actually essential because you think about it, like when you go into a job interview, you can't just go looking crazy. Even if we not talking about entrepreneurship, we talking about when you go and work for these essential businesses, they're not just going to take you just because you're a person that know how to talk. Like
That's a good point. Yeah. Listen, in the comments, y'all, let us know. And I'm going to actually ask this question. Is the beauty industry, hair, nails, facials, everything did, is it non-essential or is it essential? And I'll be honest with you, I think it's all about perception. If we ask a famous person that, they're going to be like, oh, it's definitely essential. But if you ask your typical Susie that works at Walmart or even in corporate, depending on how she shows up, she may say yes or no. So I'm really curious to see what you guys think.
That's a good question.
However, it was like the catalyst that moved you into what you do now. So thinking back, would you have wished that they wouldn't have shut you down, or are you glad that they did?
So I'm actually glad, because one thing I've realized when it comes to building your business and, you know, just being new at it, you need time. You need just that time to nurture even your audience, but also pour into the business. So during that time of me being out of work, at the time I was a single mom. So I was like, okay, my baby was, I want to say, almost 3 months.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to just put her in her high chair and we going to learn. Like, I'm going to pour into my cup for a few months before I just call, like, you just going out there charging crazy prices for coaching. Because you hear people say, like, oh, charge for your time and all that. I'm like, you know, let me just pour into my cup first. So during that time of me being out of the salon doing lashes, I was buying into coaching. I was getting into different, like, group coaching programs. Low price, low ticket. It was what I could afford at the time.
Well, hold up. What's low ticket to you? Because perception.
Low ticket, we was doing $30 a month. It was a six-figure chick, Cece. She was my coach for almost 8 months. The first 8 months that
she rest in peace.
Yes. The first 8 months that I made my first 100K off digital products, that was my coach.
Come on. I love it. Yeah. That's such a blessing. And I agree, $30 a month is low ticket, mm-hmm. but the outcome and the result was so much bigger. So what product were you selling and what was the hack behind that? Give us a little game real quick.
Yeah, so I was selling vendors and I was selling ebooks, and then on the side I was doing coaching to go along with when you get the ebooks and the vendors, you know, here's what you need to do. So for me, of course, my coaching had a lot to do with that 100K, but the digital products, it helped with my credibility.
Love it.
People were quicker to spend $10 on an ebook, $20 on a vendor. And then they like, oh, I need you. I need your coaching because I got the vendor. I got the ebook. Now I need you to help me implement.
Yeah. But how big was your audience? Because when I hear those prices, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, you got to have a large audience to have the volume. What was your audience size?
Yeah. So my strategy at the time of having these low ticket products was influencer marketing.
Okay.
And I gathered up all of the influencers that I knew. And I was like, look, I know it's a pandemic. Everybody wants some money. I was paying thousands, sometimes hundreds, $400, $800, $1,000. The most I paid was $2,000.
Okay.
And I actually didn't even make a return off of that. But all of my lower, you know, just paying the influencers, that is what actually helped me get to the 100K on a low ticket. Because you think about it, once I see influencers that were working, like, I paid them more than once. I'm like, okay, cool. You made me $5,000 in a day. Let's run it back tomorrow, right?
I'm going to have to see who they was. But let me ask you this, and let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Did you write the ebooks or did you hire for them to write them? Because there's several options, y'all. We don't have, I mean, we got AI right now.
Right.
So did you do it yourself?
Yes, I wrote all of my ebooks. I just used templates off of Creative Market to kind of help me, you know, cut the corners.
Most definitely. But it's your intellectual property. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So I'm excited to chat with you because I see you doing your thing online and I feel like you're small but strong and mighty. And what I mean by that is because I'm a solopreneur, I'm small but strong and mighty. I'm going on my second six-figure year. I left corporate and I don't even have a team. And I'm not bragging, y'all, because that's nothing to brag about. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, LaShawna, if you were able to do this with no team, imagine once you get out of your own way and hire what you can do. So how does it feel? Well, first of all, tell us about your team dynamic, how many staff you have, if you have any, and how does it feel to literally embarking on scaling?
Yes. So for me, I do have 4 team members. So with working with them, of course, it was hard getting it all together. But like you said, last year I did, no, the year before last, I did 6 figures. And I was like, okay, cool. I can do this again. Yep. But I maybe can do multi. So the year of 2022, I did multi 6 figures with a team, right?
With a team. See, I'm on my way. And I can't wait to hit the millions, baby.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? So with hiring my team, my first employee was, of course, my virtual assistant.
Right.
She serves as my administrative assistant. And with hiring her, next after her, I went to my friend she works for operations. So I'm like, okay, cool. I need you.
Yeah.
What do we need to do with the rest of these people? Because I don't know. I just know I need an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I created an offer that made it easier to hire because at the time I didn't have like a set operations manager.
Gotcha.
So when I created that offer, the offer promised for my clients to have graphics made, get copy for their sales pages, emails, all of these things that I'm like, Monet not doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me just plug in, you know, the gap. So I went and I, you know, vetted graphic designers, copywriters. So today I have web designer, two graphic designers, one copywriter, and a virtual assistant.
Nice. Anybody specialize in Kartra?
Me. I'm the one. That
you do Kartra?
Yeah. So okay, I do all of the systems and the marketing. So if it's like a sales page or setting up a funnel, that's me. Right now I'm trying to duplicate myself. That's like one of the hardest things that I'm facing right now when it comes to hiring. Because I can hire all of them for, you know, graphics, copy, because I don't do it.
Right.
But I'm like, who going to build this funnel? It's always me.
Yeah.
So, you know, with just getting to that point of being able to hire, it was a blessing because I'm like little old, you know, 26 year old me. I'm like, oh, I got me a team.
Girl, you're doing amazing.
So yeah, it was a blessing, and it was scary at first because you're putting things into the hands of other people.
Oh yeah,
you have to trust them to be on time, give the quality, not rush. Trust them to even get your stuff back, even if they're going through things, because you know when we're going through things, we still have to show up.
Hold on, wait. Let's pause on that because I specialize in that kind of junk. Mm-hmm. I'm a business therapist and mindset coach, and I help CEOs and leaders pinpoint the mindset blocks that's stopping them from launching and growing their business. And she just said, when we're going through things, we still have to show up. And I want to pause there because I feel like we have the expectation and we do, but how is that hurting us in the long run?
Well, for me, I'll speak for myself. I am learning to control my emotions, and that's something that has always been a struggle for me because I'm just super emotional. I'm passionate about whatever is around me. If I'm doing it, if I'm with that person, if I'm, you know, interacting, I'm passionate about either the person or what I'm doing.
Right.
So for me, like if I'm going through anything with anybody that's on my everyday life, it does get in between like my productivity, and I see that as being not good.
Right.
So I'm trying to work on not forgetting about how it's making me feel, but kind of holding it off a little bit so I can make sure that I'm showing up in my business, right? Because I'm in the business of servicing. So it's kind of hard to, I can't just type an ebook and make $20,000 because I still make majority of my money from directly servicing somebody.
Most definitely.
So yeah, I do think, you know, if you do that too much, it will affect, you know, your mental health. Because you continue to put yourself on the back burner. You continue to put what you like doing on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's your specialty. So, I'm going to let you tell me.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted to hear from you. And I call it feel, deal, and heal. Mm-hmm. And we can heal while building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to kind of put it off, still do the work. But we got to circle back and not compartmentalize it, put it on the shelf, and ignore it because, as you know, when it comes to a crisis, then it's like out of office and not replying to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's what you do, but some people end up doing that to where they're canceling things and even venting online and projecting their own trauma and hurt.
Yes.
And trust me, the reason why I'm in the field that I'm in is because I have experienced it, and I still have a close family member that has mental health issues. So I'm literally caregiving with my clients and serving as a mental health wellness professional, caregiving with my daughter, caregiving with my close family members. And it's hard, right? But we just got to remember that we come first.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got to take a mental health day, if you got to push a meeting back to the next day, and I'm not saying do it all the time, but this is the thing, when we show up at our optimal level, when things happen and we need to pivot or switch things around, it's not a big deal because we're all 99% always doing what we need to do.
Yes, that's what I've noticed.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm excited because out of the 4 or 5 years I've been doing coaching, I haven't canceled any sessions or engagements, but out of the 5 years, because of a time difference, I forgot and snoozed on a virtual thing that I had to do. And then I've probably moved around some sessions. I would say I can count them on 5 times. It's nothing that I'm trying to like praise myself on, but that's because I take what I do very, very, very seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when people invest in you, they're investing, sorry, not in you. Let's reframe, because they're not investing in me. When people invest in themselves with their resources, time, and energy, I don't take that lightly. They can go anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to know it's okay if we're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if before the session you're like, hey, I just want to let you know, my energy is going to be a little low. I got some things going on, but I'm here for you. Girl, when we do that with our clients, they literally like, wow, you're human.
Yes.
Thanks. Exactly. And what I noticed, Monet, it opens up a conversation for more transparency and vulnerability because more than likely, they're struggling too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And entrepreneurship, sometimes it looks like the glitz, the glamour, but I'll be brutally honest with you. Entrepreneurship is not for the weak.
Yes.
Okay?
For the weak.
You got to have alligator skin. Girl, I feel like I'm about to drink. Yeah. I need you to go on sip.
You do have to have alligator skin. Like, I feel like what has helped me just show up, even like on a bad day, is my people around me. Like, that, I wouldn't be able to do it just pulling my strength out the sky. Like, it's, of course, you know, you pray to God for strength to get through certain things, but that immediate comfort of like, somebody telling you like, girl, it's gonna be okay. Just, you know, go show up, do what you need to do and revisit it, you know, when it doesn't cost you whatever you was about to do, right?
Right, right. The thing is, we got to revisit it.
Yeah, that's the part that I've noticed because I have been the one like, yeah, that happened, but whatever. I'm just gonna ignore it. Like, that's my personality to just let stuff just, I don't feel like dealing with it. It's not, and then I end up
you gonna deal
not
with it.
Dealing with it until it comes back, and now I'm dealing with it times two.
Sometimes times 10.
Yeah, times 10.
Right? Because we've let it layer and layer and layer. And it was something that I wanted to share. This is why we need to make sure that we are aligned with our target market. We can't just be out here serving and taking money, because then when your clients or target market show up, they're not going to be forgiving. They're not going to be supportive.
Yeah.
Right? And so over time, like, and I was looking on Brittany Janine, I don't know if you guys know her, but she said she had to refund somebody their money back because as soon as they paid, they sent an email and the energy was like, you work for me, B. Like that entitlement that I haven't had to refund anything, but I've had to check someone and set boundaries and communicate, which I do anyways, right? Yeah. But this is the thing. If you don't have clear boundaries, you will literally set yourself up for failure because you got to teach people how to treat you, right?
I stand with that.
So entrepreneurship is not even about owning your own business. It's about owning your own self.
Yes. I agree. I definitely agree. I think boundaries is one of the things that us as entrepreneurs, like, if you don't come into contact with somebody like yourself or somebody who works with, you know, helping people when it comes to boundaries and mental health and things like that, it will be hard. Because I'll be honest to say, like, it comes down to your personality. Like, my personality is more so like, yeah, you good. Just, you know, just... I'm real soft. I'm soft-spoken. I just like for everybody to feel good around me.
Yeah.
And I feel like because of that, them boundaries, at first when I just got into entrepreneurship, I was just like, yeah, that's fine. Like, oh, Monet, can I pay? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And that, it just comes back, and it comes back, and it bites you, right?
Yeah, and you're younger. I'm 40, right? You're 26. So because of my age, y'all, I done already been through the 19, 20, 25, 30-year-old stuff. And being in corporate taught me to have clear boundaries. For example, I don't, fraternize. I don't befriend my clients. Now, there have been some clients who we connected after the fact and now we're cool, but you can't shit where you lay.
Yep.
Okay? I'm going to go on cuts right now. Because when you do, you're sending a message that, we good, everything cool, just chill back.
Yes.
Imagine if Monet and I was like this. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the... Y'all be like,
yeah, I'm turned
inside. What's going on? There has to be professionalism and an expectation. Can we still have fun? Yes. Can we still kiki? Let's do a little clink clink.
Drink a little.
Yes. But at the end of the day, this is the business. Listening to the Accountability On Demand podcast with host LaShawna West, your business therapist and mindset coach, to entrepreneurs and CEOs who are ready to level up in life and in business. Shifting your mindset is mandatory. It's time to get out of your own way. So let's plug in and let's learn and earn. And so my question to you is, how do you set boundaries to have your business but also become approachable and down to earth and all the things that black girls are, but how do you do that and still have, and no disrespect, I mean, you know what I'm saying, how do you do that and still have clear boundaries, in your opinion?
So for me, what I do is, well, what I've realized first and foremost, when I started setting boundaries, I started getting like way more respect, right? And when I saw that, I was like, hold up, wait, what is that? So it gassed me up. I'm like, okay, we got another one coming. We got another boundary coming. And when I tell you, like, even from, like, okay, aside from clients, my clients, I've been stopped playing with them. Like, we, y'all met me when I was 23. I'm my whole big age now. So stopped playing with my clients. But as far as like people around me that, or not even people around me, but people that I look up to and people that, you know, they know I exist, but we just not in the same circle. I'm like, okay, I'm like, how am I going to get myself like in these rooms that I so-called want to be in? It starts at the boundaries. Now, of course, I'm not going to have, it's not that I need boundaries for the people that are in the room, because I'm not in the room yet. I'm saying to get to that room, I had to build and create those boundaries so that I'm not like overwhelmed and just being pulled by everybody to where I could never get in that room. So for me, with incorporating boundaries, like I let go of that fear of feeling like if I say no, they're not gonna like me, they're not gonna want to be around me. And I replaced that fear with me knowing who I am and knowing my value and operating from a place of just not a place of scarcity. Like, oh, if I say this, then I'm not going to ever meet somebody like that again, or I won't ever get a friend like that, or just all of that was fear. And I'm like, let me just let this go. And I know what I bring to the table.
Period.
So I put up those walls and those boundaries. And a lot of people know, like, don't call Monet at a certain time. Mm-hmm. If you do, don't expect the answer. If I'm working, don't expect the answer. If I'm with my daughter, don't expect it. Mm-hmm. Even smaller boundaries, like me, one of my clients, she wanted to hop on a call because she didn't understand the form. I have office hours for that, like, but I know her, like, we're cool, but she's my client. I knew her before she's my client. I'm like, she texts me like, hey, can we get on the call? I'm like, hey, your office hours link is on your dashboard, go ahead and book your appointment and we're gonna get on the phone. But we got each other's cell phone number saved.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I need to work on redirecting when certain clients just pop up and call me. And what I do a passive redirect.
Okay.
What is that? An assertive redirect is either not answering and sending a text, hey, make sure you use the office hours or Slack for XYZ. That's an assertive redirect. A passive redirect is answering it, hey, how can I help you? Da 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 da. I'm listening, I'm talking back. And then I act like I gotta go or something. I never address the issue. I end it quickly, but it, what do you think that's going to do when I'm not assertive with the redirect?
I feel like a lot of people get buyer's remorse. So I've been trying to, like you said, not just push it off. Like, hey, go book. Like, it's on the thing. I like to give, like, that comfort that you just said. Like, okay, I'll pick up the phone, but I'm going to tell you, like, oh, girl, I gotta go. But, you know, don't forget that the link, you know, then I can add it in, and I see that. Because I've done the other part. I'm going to be honest with you. I've done the, hey, the link is in the thing. Can you just book it? And like you said, a lot of people, they will, you know, kind of feel pushed off. They like, I just gave you $3,000. What you mean?
Yeah.
The link.
So with the example I gave you guys, though, what that does, it repeats the negative behavior.
Yeah.
Because I never told them. I never redirected. I just got the phone real quick, right? So what I would love for us to do is to reiterate the boundaries proactively and at neutral times instead of reactively after it happens. What does that mean? Monthly emails, a periodic message in Slack from you or your assistant. Hey, FYI, we're coming to the end of the month. Make sure that you are aware of your such and such hours. That kind of stuff literally embeds that reinforcement of these are the expectations. Also, what I love is, and it's going above and beyond, when they are following our expectations, to reward and praise them. Hey, thanks for reaching out during your office hours. That's that reminder that, oh, my office hours is on Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. I just made that up. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Emotional intelligence. 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because this is the thing. People don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
Keisha might be used to just hitting her coach up on the phone and they kikiing.
Right.
Is she not even personalizing and just doing it with you? That's what she's accustomed to. So we got to make sure to communicate our expectations, our boundaries, and what it does is teaches them new behavior.
That's a good point. Exactly. Yeah. And okay, so now I see where you was going with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't address it,
they repeat it.
Repeat and repeat. And then when you hit it on the fifth time, it's like, oh, I did that four times.
Then it becomes a crisis. Oh, she's tripping.
Yeah, it's her.
Think about your daughter. If she keeps running in the street, you never say nothing. She's going to keep running in the street and then something happens. But she runs in the street one time. Hey, don't do this. Go to timeout. No cookie. Whatever your consequence is, I bet you she don't run in the street again.
Yeah.
And if she does, guess what? The consequence. And now I'm going into my parenting. I'm literally a certified parenting coach. If she goes in there again, the consequence should be higher.
Yes.
Right? So anyways, we go on a tangent. So let everybody know what's on the horizon for you and your company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have any offers right now or some kind of event or new campaigns coming out? How can we tap in?
Yes, so I am now putting together my first in-person event. It's called Elevate Her Social Summit.
Yeah.
And it is a two-part summit where the first part, it is a workshop style, very limited seating, just because we are getting real hands-on, getting our hands dirty. I do have four specialists, experts that are going to come and help me run.
She got five, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm about to do mindset.
Yes, I definitely
shoot my
do.
Shot.
I need you while you playing. But yes, I do have that event coming up. The second part is pretty chill. Mixer, keynote speakers, you know, all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as business directly, I'm pretty much rocking with my VIP days. I have nothing. It's, you know, everything is good with those. I love working with my clients during VIP days, especially because it's one-on-one. My clients, they spoil you.
For those that don't know what a VIP day is, break it down for us.
Yeah, so a VIP day in my business is a done-for-you program. Now, I have three different VIP packages. One of them is a strategy. I'm just doing all of the strategy for you for the next 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
You get your marketing guide with your strategy, your content plan, email plan. We break down, take a deep dive all into your current marketing strategy, your current audience, make sure all of that is cleaned up. But for the most part, it's all done for you. Mine changes at what I do for you, though. So systems is one of my packages. I build out all of your back-end systems. We do your sales pages, your funnel, set up your emails, all of that. And then I have the ultimate white glove service that you don't really have to do anything but execute. We come to you with the graphics, the strategy, the emails, the website, the sales page, clean up the offer, the lead magnet, lead generation, all of that good
stuff. Ooh, baby.
That's my big boy. But yeah.
What's that, like 10K?
It's, you know what? You would think it is, but it's 7.
Y'all better hurry up before she go up.
I keep hearing so many people saying, girl, make that 10K.
I haven't seen it yet, and now I got my coaching hat on. I haven't seen it yet, but from what I'm hearing, which I know is probably even more, at minimum, that should be 10K.
Yeah.
Question, is there any ongoing one-on-one sessions, or do you literally just do it all, and there's like periodic check-ins? Is there one-on-one coaching with that too, or no?
Yeah. So it's
how many?
Into a... is four. So we do one VIP day at the end of the package. Mm-hmm. The beginning, we do the offer clarity to clean up the offer. Gotcha. The second call is a lead generation to build that lead generation strategy. So most of the time, they're doing a quiz.
Okay.
And we'll build the quiz strategy out, like, and then that. I'll go build the quiz. And then I offer one just, I need you, call. Like, just if they need to talk, or, you know, they're doing something in the with the offer. Because at that time, they're producing the content to, most of them, they'll do a main event. But some of them will do, like, just go off the lead magnet. Of course, I love the thought of the main event. So, for the people who do the main event, they need that extra call.
Yeah.
Because they need, like, the prep for all of that. So, we kind of just use that for that. So, yes, four.
Love it. And, guys, we will have Monet's information in the description. So, Monet, if someone needed you, can you paint the picture on the type of person you serve? Like, who's your target market? That way they know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, the person that I serve best, I'll be honest and say, the people, they gonna come to me. It don't matter if they got a trucking business, a real estate business, they be coming. But the person that I best serve is a service provider like myself, that is just looking to build some type of offer that can make you anywhere like five figures a month. And that's because I have done that myself with, you know, some coaching, but I've been able to see the downsides of it, and I see, like, the components that's needed. I see all of what's needed to build that offer that everybody says yes to, or not everybody, but your ideal customers. So pretty much that person who is looking to go high ticket, they want to look at five figure months, even high four figures is also ideal. But I look to make that offer a four figure offer.
Gotcha.
If not four figures, we at least have to do $997. And if anybody has an offer and they just need to clean up their systems, because I'm also the systems person that everybody comes to.
Gotcha.
And I work on a lot of people's systems. So if you like, Monet, I'm doing too much, I need to get out of the business a little more. Systems is my thing, building up the CRMs, getting the funnels connected, just auditing and just seeing, like, what needs to be implemented, even the processes. You know, build processes out and see, like, what you have right now is going to keep you working, but let's just, you know, go into, you know, some new processes so you can kind of remove yourself a little bit. So anything with automations and marketing for service providers, that is me.
You! So one last question before we wrap up. Do you coach them on the actual offer creation as well, or do they have to have an established offer already, meaning I'm launching a coaching agency that they get da-da-da-da-da for this amount? Do they have to have that already, or do you help them with that too?
Yes, so they have to come to me with the idea at least of what they want. So right now I'm working with a real estate professional with my latest VIP client, and she pretty much came with what she wanted to do. We're just gonna build out the offer as far as, like, doing it on Kajabi. I've helped her do the offer outline, and she's doing it in a course form, so the course outline, to be more specific. But you have to come with an idea. I don't work with, like, new, you know, first time, I'm new to this. I don't do that, just because my framework is for somebody who at least has a little bit of volume. When you're trying to go high ticket, you don't want to launch it to people who used to paying $15, and you barely have those people that pays the $15. So I like to work with people who come with the idea and they have the expertise. They know what they're doing. They like, hey, I do this, but I just need to put it in the offer.
Correct. I love it. So listen, our first Girl Boss edition was super amazing. We were able to talk about her journey. We were able to talk about boundaries and wellness and mindset shifts so you could get more into your CEO bag instead of just new beginner side hustler bag, because that's very important. And then we even talked about how Monet can support you if you need her. So I want you guys to make sure to follow and subscribe to Accountability on Demand podcast. Hit myself up, LaShawna West, on all things social. What's your social, and how can they hit you up if they need you?
Yes, you guys can connect with me on Instagram at Monet Business Co, M-O-N-A-E, and then Business Co, and on, I mean, I'm Monet Business Co on everything. So if you type it in everywhere, you'll find me. LinkedIn, wherever you want to type it. My website is also that as well, so MonetBusinessCo.com. And yeah, I'm excited to connect with anybody who comes from Accountability on Demand.
Perfect. So, guys, we are so excited that you tuned in today. If this was helpful, let us know in the comments. Drop what resonated the most. And remember, you have to ask for what you want, and let's be proactive versus reactive. Yes. We'll see you next time on Accountability on Demand. Yes. Clank, clank. 'Shawna West here, owner of Pop Up and Create. I'm so excited that you're tapping in to our multi-purpose content creation studio. At Pop Up and Create, it is a creative's haven. Co-working, photo shoots, podcasts, events, the whole nine. So if you're wondering, where do I go to create? Pop Up and Create.